Welcome to the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics Leader Journey Podcast. This podcast aims to share leadership stories from our VMI Corps cadets and high-profile leaders who visit the Center for Leadership and Ethics and VMI Post. We're on this journey with you. Hello, I'm Derek Pinkham, your host of the podcast, along with Major Catherine Roy. Casey Meredith, VMI Class of 2022, is an international studies major and the very first woman regimental commander. She hails from Johnstown, Pennsylvania, and loves to fish in her free time. We talk to Casey about her experiences in leadership at VMI, her thoughts on her own leadership style, her mentors, and who she looks to for leadership support and inspiration. You're going to love this conversation. And without further delay, we give you Cadet First Class, Casey Meredith. The first question we have is, what is your guiding principle for leadership, and what is your leadership style?
I would say, you know, there are so many definitions of leadership. There's textbook definitions, but if you go off of a book definition of what leadership is, I don't think that you're necessarily taking all types of situations into account, because no situation can be a textbook situation. So whenever I go into leadership situations, I always look to inspire people, because in times that people feel uncomfortable or at times they're not doing their best, sometimes you just need to ask them if there's something going on in their lives at that point that's changing their perception of reality. So I like to inspire people and get to know people, and that's part of my personable personality, is making sure that the people that I'm leading are cared for. Because if I'm asking something of them and I don't know that something is going on in their lives that could change how they're viewing a situation, then that's my fault as a leader that I don't know that. So I always look to understand the people that I'm leading and to inspire them, because if they are inspired by me, then that means that they look up to me in a way that I've done something to prove myself to them. So if I can set the standard for myself and always set the standard 24/7 and inspire them to do the same, then I feel like that's the best leadership trait, is to be able to inspire those that you want to lead.
Awesome.
So I have a follow-up question on that one. So we've interviewed some folks here on this program, and they have said things like they had eyeball level leadership, or one other person said, I like to pull people aside. Is there a technique that you use for that relationship building?
So in times that I've seen maybe errors in training or things like that, I would say that I always pull people aside and talk to them on the side. Eyeball level of leadership is something I would probably say that I do. I like to make sure that everything is running smoothly. I would say maybe that sometimes I kind of micromanage in some ways, but never to the extent that it takes away from people's leadership. I put everything in words for them to understand my intention and my execution. I always want to give my leaders and my followers a reason why, because if they don't have a reason why, then they don't know what they're executing, and that's unfair to them. So I like to say that I always do that, and I always give them an intention of the mission that we're trying to execute. And if I do see errors, it's never something that I would call out in front of anybody else. I always pull people to the side, and then that turns into my personable level of leadership, is just talking to them, seeing their perception versus my perception, and what could have happened, where spaces could be that things are different between our perceptions, and then get down to the nitty-gritty of it and then change those errors so that we better execute our mission. But I always like to pull people to the side rather than, you know, telling them that they're failing in my perception whenever they're executing a mission.
Right. That's great. Let's shift a little bit here. How have you prepared for your new role this year? What is on your mind as the best leadership lesson as you started the year as regimental commander?
So I feel like my leadership really started to grow rapidly when I went to OCS the first time. That was the summer of 2019 when I first went to OCS Juniors. I feel like I honed in a lot of leadership, because I really never had that big of a leadership experience up until that point, and that showed me a lot. I was most likely one of the youngest people within my class, besides a few others who went to training with me, that we went to work with the enlisted members of the Marine Corps and see how they function as NCOs, and then our role as an officer, how, where the difference lies in how we better execute being officers and working with our NCOs to execute a mission. And so that was my first insight on it. I learned a lot from that experience. And then I went into my third class year and continued on that line by picking up rank and using that rank to better my leadership and talk to the people on post that I could learn from. And then I think one of the biggest things also going into my second class year, whenever I was a sergeant major, not only was I a sergeant major, but our roles really picked up whenever COVID came to VMI. And so that experience in itself proved to me a lot of time commitment. And I've learned, you know, how to handle time commitment and how to get my work done and to also fully do my job the best that I could do. Because I committed a lot of my time to that role, maybe too much time sometimes. And I learned that line. I learned that line a lot. And so those are the experiences that I've had personally with leadership. And there are other ways that I've learned leadership in the ways of physical fitness and NROTC events, pushing myself to be uncomfortable by signing up for events that I wouldn't feel comfortable doing, but I wanted to try.
Right, personal like level that. Leadership.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, yeah. That's really cool. Who do you look to as a mentor? Do you have a support system?
I use a lot of the personnel on post to just talk to them. And that's, as you know, a cadet of Virginia Military Institute, if you don't utilize the people who are here, you're wasting an experience, because there are just so many different experiences that they have gone through that truly just give me a piece of information each day. I learn something new each day from them. And so, like I said, I've utilized Colonel Hall and I've utilized Sergeant Major Sowers and talked to them so many different times, but also all of the members of the comm staff that I've talked to more this year that I haven't necessarily talked to before. I learned leadership from all of them, but also my mother is my biggest support system. My family and my brother Rats, they're really my biggest support system, along with my regimental staff. I mean, they support me in what I do, and sometimes we have to talk on the side and they give me advice like, hey, we see it this way, maybe this could be better executed this way. And then I listen to them, because I understand that not everything that I push out is 100% perfect all the time. I know that. And so whenever they professionally pull me to the side afterwards and are like, hey, look at it from this standpoint or this situation, maybe it would work better in this way, I always, always utilize that advice. So they're my support system. And you could also consider them a mentor, because we're learning from each other. That's what this year is for, learning from each other. And so I learn from them, I learn from the commandant staff and my mentors, but my mother, at the end of the day, sometimes I just have to call her and I say, hey mom, today was rough, give me some advice, you know, and she always is there.
I was gonna ask you, is there anyone outside of VMI that you would call a mentor? And well, certainly your mom, but is there anyone aside from that?
Once I came to Virginia Military Institute, I kept my ties a lot within VMI. I still speak to a lot of members of my high school who are in professional, you know, jobs and careers that they have. And I speak to them whenever I go home. Like the principal of my school, I've talked to him a lot since I've been home. And he's been very proud of the successes that I've had. And now he's the superintendent of the school. Just different teachers that I found mentors within my high school, I still find a way to talk to them. But also outside, I mean, not necessarily outside of VMI, but a lot of the female alumni who have spoken to me, or just alumni in general, who may not be a colonel in the military, who just speak out to me and tell me about their experiences while they were at VMI, is always an insight as how I could do better. They always give me advice. I've had a few people email me about our parades and say, hey, maybe try this. You know, you guys would look better if you, you know, try executing this at parade. And I always take that into account. They're always so helpful. And the alum support is just amazing at VMI. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. You have any follow-ups, Catherine?
I'd be interested in hearing, since you've said that a lot of this has been trial and error, so to speak, that's kind of my descriptor, but you try your leadership out, you see how it goes, and then you learn, you get feedback. Can you tell us about a time where you were particularly challenged and what profound lesson perhaps you took away from that experience?
I think two things. First is whenever I was Sergeant Major, like I said, going into that COVID atmosphere last spring was definitely something that we weren't expecting. And it took a lot of time away from me, a cadet who had 17 and a half credits while also being a Sergeant Major. I had academic stars up until that point, but that one semester was when I got my academic stars taken away from me because I didn't meet the criteria for them. But then the following spring semester, I retained the GPA that would earn me back academic stars if I also get a 3.5 this semester, which I hope to do. Having stars up until that point and then losing them was definitely something that I wasn't expecting. And I mean, it did make me upset. And that's what I said about putting too much time and emphasis into my leadership at that point. I would do it all over again if it still meant taking my stars away, because I learned so much from that job and that billet that I don't regret anything from that. But I think the thing that I did learn from it is being able to delegate more and the time commitment that I put into it, because I like to put a lot of things on myself and I like to see how I can work with the weight that I have on my shoulders. But sometimes I don't need to do that. And so I learned that after losing my stars. And so it's something that I, you know, have started to change in my leadership, being able to delegate, because that then worked into this year. I came from OCS August 14th and came to VMI August 15th. So I had not even really 24 hours in between coming back to school. And so I came into a role that I did not practice, that I had my cadre early return members already here running the school. I had my regimental sergeant major basically running the Corps along with a regimental executive officer who had a lot on their plate at that point. And so it was okay for me to sit back and say, listen, while I'm the regimental commander right now, I need to give myself time to understand what you guys have gone through while I've been gone, and understand that it's okay for me to not understand what's going on right now, because once I start to understand and I start to let things slowly creep back onto my plate, I'll be better off not just putting everything on my plate and failing right off the bat. Because if I put everything right now on my plate and say, this is all my job, no delegation, I need to do it because I'm a regimental commander, that's wrong. Because they know how it's been executed. They know what has been going on. And so as a leader, it's okay for me to say, hey, I don't understand right now, but please tell me so that I can understand and so that I can better execute in the future. So I think that we played that pretty well going into the year, just coming straight off of OCS and not knowing a thing about the changes that were being made. We had a lot of new members of COMSTAF coming in, and I think as a team, we really came together and delegated and made sure everyone was in the right spot at the right time and understood what needed to be understood.
So would you say that you spent a lot of time observing and getting debriefed, or how did you take a backseat role while you got spun up?
Well, one time I know that I genuinely had to brief the cadre early return members about the plans for the upcoming year. And it was day two, I believe, something like that. And so I professionally told everyone, I said, hey, everyone knows that I've been gone. I haven't even had my phone for a month while at OCS. And so while I'm sitting up here briefing you all, I do have expectations, but at the same time, I'm still learning too. So my regimental sergeant major, my regimental executive officer have put in a lot of time and have put in a lot of effort to make things run. And I could never, you know, tell them how much I appreciate the efforts that they've put in while I've been gone. And so they've done a lot of this work. Also, I'm still learning, but once I'm slowly getting back into this role, I'm starting to get used to it. You can still come to me with any questions that you have, but just give me the benefit of the doubt for these few days while we start to gather everything and put them in the right places. And I think it takes a little bit of, you know, being humbled to be able to go up and say, I don't understand, because I'm supposed to understand. But it would be wrong of me to go up and pretend like I knew what was going on when I didn't.
So how do you feel a month in or so?
I feel a lot better. Yes, sir.
Do you ever feel like you're 100% in the know of everything, in control of everything?
I feel like I definitely know what's going on, you know, mm-hmm. at the times I need to. And like I said, there's a lot of delegation. There's a lot of team building, because there's so many different organizations that work together. I don't need to understand everything that's going on. I need to understand what's going on with the regimental system, and that's what I'm doing. So I know that I'm on top of the things that need to be done, and I know that my other organizations are as well. So maybe I don't know every single detail of VMI, but that's for a reason. I'm not the head of every single organization, just the regimental side, which I feel like I'm on top of now.
So we talk a lot here about how VMI has purposefully pitted the class system up against the regimental system. Can you talk to that a little bit, or explain that for maybe some audience members who don't know anything about VMI?
So there, for example, a glaring example of what would be a difference between the regimental system and the class system is, while you have the privilege through your class system of being improperly dressed on stoop, say without a robe, just your proper dress is supposed to be a full set of gym dykes. So gym dyke top, gym dyke bottom, running shoes, white socks, right? That's a full appearance for gym dyke. And for class dyke, I would be in my my white class dyke shirt and trousers. I would have my belt on, my cover on. Your privilege from a class side is, if you were on your respective stoop, you are allowed to be, you know, shirt untucked. You're allowed to have maybe a white shirt on with gym dyke if you're going to the bathroom, because you have the privilege, you've earned that as a class. So that would be one of the glaring issues, is that while it's a bonable offense within the regimental side, it's not an offense within the general committee. However, the relationship between the regimental commander and the class president, as much effort as you put into it, will be where that line starts to draw in, and there's really not that big of a space between the two, because they should work in unison. And so as much effort as you put into it will be more unifying.
Nice. Do you have anything else?
Well, any other thoughts that you have, some things that advice that you might have for other cadets who are seeking either rank or to possibly fill your shoes one day? What might you say to them in terms of good practices, things they should do?
I think that trying for every single opportunity that's given for you at VMI is something that you should do. No matter what it is, if it's through your RTC staff, if it's through the ranking system, if it's through any side organizations, you should always sign up for anything that comes through your email. Your email is just the epitome of trying to find anything you can sign yourself up for at VMI. And they're just, the difference between VMI and other institutions is just the amount of opportunity to lead yourself, whether it's leading others or leading yourself. So in many different ways, I've pushed myself into physical events that maybe I didn't think I could complete. And through the military aspect, right now I'm the president of Semper Fi Society. I'm the regimental commander, and I also work in Call Call. And so I have a job here. I have a job on the regimental side, and then I'm the president of Semper Fi Society. I envision a resume in my head at all times, and it's just something that I can always put down on it, is that I was able to juggle three things as a regimental commander. And so if you ever feel uncomfortable or that you can't do something like that, just try it out to begin with. And if it gets too hectic, then maybe you can start to lessen your load. But don't ever think that there are too many things on your plate until you feel that there are too many things on your plate. Don't overassume before you get into different roles. Because whenever I looked at what I was doing this coming year, I definitely reconsidered maybe not having a job and not testing it out. But then I tried it out, and I was able to get a lot done within that time that I was working shifts that doesn't just pertain to the gym. So there are a lot of things that you can do, and it's just managing your time schedule and doing things like that to work within this load that you're putting on yourself. But if you don't give yourself a load on your shoulders, and you have time to take naps throughout the day, and you have time to just do what you find yourself bored throughout the day, then you need to find something to do at VMI because it offers so much.
Yeah, I forget who said it, but some famous person says the struggle is the path.
Exactly.
In other words, where you have your weaknesses, that's the direction in which you need to be going.
Right, the obstacle is the way.
Mm-hmm. If I can, you know, have a tight schedule that entire day to the point that I go, you know, I put my head on my pillow and I think, wow, this is the first time I'm even, like, taking a breath in my room, and I complain to my roommates, oh my gosh, my day was so hectic, I get to complain about it. So it means that I did something productive throughout the day. So that's always, you know, you can always look at it like that. You give yourself a reason to tough things out and have a reason to complain at the end of the day, because it just means you're being productive.
Spoken like a true Marine.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Two more questions very quickly. One is, as a regimental commander, do you also have a rat?
Yes, I do.
Can you talk a little bit about that rat-dike relationship?
So the rat-dike relationship is mostly trying to find a rat, obviously, that fits what you want in a rat. So I wanted a rat that was from my company, and Marine ROTC had the same dreams and goals as I did, and I found an exact replica of myself within the rat class. So that's my rat, and she's an Echo company. Like I said, she's in the Marine Corps ROTC. And so my relationship with her is to show her exactly what I've been telling this entire podcast, is how I've looked at VMI and the perception that I've garnered throughout the years, and what has gotten me to this professional standpoint, and how I can better inspire her to do the same, and for her to reach for every opportunity at VMI that it offers, because anything less than that is just not, you know, what you signed up for. And so we have a really strong relationship and a really professional relationship, and she has a lot of goals for herself that inspire me. You know, it's not just me inspiring her, it's also vice versa. You know, I remember one time I was in my room, like I said, long day, didn't know if I had time to go for a run, and then she came into my room and she goes, hey, do you want to go for a run? And I said, you know what, that's exactly, you know, you came in here and you're getting me out there again, you know.
That's the motivation you needed.
Exactly.
Yeah, at the time.
So
yep.
You can always fit something within your schedule, and you know, she reminded me of that. She reminded me of that. So that's the relationship that I wanted out of my rat.
My last question is about the annual leadership conference. Have you attended one of our center's leadership conferences?
So last spring, there was a leadership conference with Major General Wins that I attended, and that was amazing. The guest speaker that we had that day had given me a book, and it was, I believe the book title was "What Would You Do?" or something along those lines.
Oh, was it... General Neal's book?
Yes.
Oh, yeah. So What Now, Lieutenant?
Yeah, yes. What Now, Lieutenant?
Which is a fantastic book.
Yes. So that was amazing. He gave me his book, and I love when people give me leadership books. That's probably my favorite thing, because I love to just pile up a bookcase full of leadership books. And so that leadership conference was really, I love listening to speakers. I love, like I said, hearing the experiences of those who have experienced a lot. And so listening to him speak was amazing. And so I enjoyed the leadership conferences, and that was the last one I attended last spring.
Yeah, we had a good lineup of speakers for that. Ben Freakley, for me, was really great on that one. He was a former soccer coach at BMI.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much.
Yes. You know, it's really, you're inspiring me right now. I don't know.
Thank you,
like,
sir.
Yeah, this is so cool. So we love doing this and talking to cadets and folks as inspiring as you. So thanks
thank
for coming.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
The Center for Leadership and Ethics would like to thank the following. VMI alumnus Caleb Minus, class of 20, for the introduction and backing music. Find more of his musical stylings on his Instagram page, at Minus Official, that's M-Y-N-U-S Official. Colonel David Gray, United States Army retired, director of the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics. And of course, and as always, our podcast guests. Find this podcast and other Center for Leadership and Ethics programming information on our VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics website, or try our YouTube channel. Follow the VMI Center for Leadership and Ethics on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Instagram accounts. See you next episode of The Journey, and thank you for tuning in.